Hey, hey, Brendan.
Aloha, Alan.
The Not A Thing podcast. Back on the air. We were away for a week celebrating various holidays.
Unspecified holiday inserted here.
Right. But we're back for our yearly Backtoon in Review. And for those that are not familiar with the Backtoon, it's the, is it Aztec calendar?
Is it Mayan?
Mayan. Yes, you're right. It's Mayan. It's Mayan. It's the Mayan calendar, which is the, Backtoons are supposedly cycles of some large number of years. And there was a huge calendar at one point, and it showed, like, it was one of those like perpetual kind of things. I see it as that, and it's like the last year that they had in it was 2012, or the equivalent of 2012. So that's why that really awful movie came out in 2012.
Yeah, I don't know what's worse, that movie or us co-opting an indigenous people's calendar for our own podcast uses.
Well, every year since then, we've called our year in review show our Backtoon in Review.
Because a podcast year is a Backtoon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how that works. So we're gonna keep going with that until some Mayans tell us otherwise, I guess.
I think using our American pronunciation of the word, we're probably not, they don't even know. They're like, oh, they're talking about something else.
Right, right.
You got a bot tune? We're in a podcast done for the year.
Well, it's been a pretty busy year for us. I think we have, I look back at some of the stats for the show and stuff, and we've had 9 ish guests on the show. I say 9-ish only because apparently Julie was on the show twice.
She counts as twice?
Yeah, okay.
They're guested episodes. You have to count the guests.
Okay, in that case, it's 10. We have 10, 10 guested episodes.
So it's like a fifth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. 20%. It's good. I mean, I think last year we had 13, if I'm remembering right. So, you know, but we're still working on it. It's still well within
acceptable limits.
Yes. Minimum safe distance. the plus or minus is still within the realm of statistical accuracy. So we're okay. It's a good number of shows. We'd like for more folks to be on the show. Actually, Julie pointed this out to me a couple days ago when I was running these numbers and just kind of letting her know. And she said, when I said, you know, I wanted to have more guests on the show, and she said, well, have you asked anybody? And yeah, I guess I've been kind of lax on that. I mean, we've been saying it on the show and occasionally tweeting it, but I guess it doesn't grow as organically as that. So I realize that most of the guests we've had, I've asked in person. So,
and they've mostly been people that you've asked. I have really slacked off this show.
That's true. That's true. Let's see. I've had, I mean, I guess Ted, Claire, and Jürgen don't count in that
realm. I'll take credit for them.
Yeah, there you go. There we go.
But, and I'll take credit for Skylar too.
Sure. Oh, in that case, we have 11. I hadn't even thought of that. He guest hosted, so that was even a different kind of thing.
This year goes to 11. 2014, the year that joke ends.
Well, we'll see.
Never. It'll never end.
That's right. But that we had Skylar guest host for our 100th show. Or the numerically 100th show, whatever.
Yeah, that was a big deal for us.
Yeah,
that happened this year.
Yeah, 2 years of recording, crazy, and still crazy fun. We've continued to kind of keep the show at what I consider a pretty good level. We've both had the experience of having our voices not exactly recognized, but running into people who are like, "Hey, I'm listening to you right now."
It's very surreal.
Yeah, kind of cool. Kind of cool. So,
I'm not complaining.
Yeah, big hooray to all of the listeners we've picked up this year, or ones that we've had for a while. It's cool. It's still really just a blast being on the air and talking to you, Brendan. But the fact that there are other people listening, it's kind of neat.
All right, I want to try and experiment. All right, if you're listening to this, look to your right and then look to your left, and if you see me, wave. Okay, did I wave back? All right, let's see how that goes.
Okay. Oh, shit. Well, in addition to the number of guests we've had, we've recorded five different locations, at least, that I know of. So we have San Jose, and we have, I guess, two locations in Sebastopol now.
Yes.
And then I was in Orlando, Florida, Anaheim, and Parker, Colorado. So there's some interesting locales. I would say that the magic of the internet has not really... I don't think it's changed how the show sounds that much. It's been sounding pretty consistent despite the variability of the locations. Although maybe the mic quality was kind of questionable in, I think it was Orlando. I don't think I had my microphone for that one.
We'll blame that on Florida.
Yeah. But it's been kind of a pretty good year, I would say. At least when I've looked at the stuff, when I was looking back for what the stuff we would talk about are, there are a fair number of kind of disappointing topics, a fair number of not a things that were coming up. Certainly a lot of kind of downer stuff around, not really downer, it's just more stuff that you have to be...
stuff that matters.
Yeah. Stuff you can't really be that light about.
It's the name of the show, Alan. We can't do it without things that should not be things.
I guess
that's
true. I mean,
I know it's better to focus on the positive, but...
Yeah. So there were a few things that we're hoping people kind of still take seriously and take a look at, but mostly... We've had a lot of, I think, good diversions this year. I've had a lot. I mean, maybe that's a testament to how many not things there were.
Well, hopefully some of those not things will not be things next year.
Yeah. So one of the things that I had a short list of kind of the more fun diversions that I've had this year, and definitely taiko drumming. Probably takes the cake. We talked about that a little bit on the show. You came to the recital, and that was just fun. It's just hitting drums loud. It's good.
I don't often go to recitals, but I enjoyed that one.
Another kind of random fun thing that was fun for me this year was we were doing from where I work to downtown San Jose is about a, let's say, 11-mile bike ride. And we were doing that, making a pit stop at San Pedro Square Market Bar, having a beer, and then riding back. And we were doing it maybe once a week at the end of summer, which is unfortunate because that's when it starts getting dark. We have to start a little earlier next year, but that will hopefully be a thing this coming year. Another kind of work diversion. I wonder why I need so many diversions at work. That's not necessarily a good thing. But another work diversion was I finally got a season pass for Great America, considering it's across the street from where I work. And I was able to go on a few roller coaster lunches with coworkers, including Steve, who was a guest on the show, and talked about roller coasters the entire time, if I'm remembering right. So that was great. We definitely had some fun with that. I would think, though, that the worst... Oh, no, I still have one more diversion this year, and I think you'll agree with me on this one. This year, I was able to kind of pick up and marathon through True Detective, and I have to say that might be the best TV I'd seen all year.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just bought it again on Blu-ray for myself.
Very nice.
Happy holiday to me.
I think, though, that the worst diversion I had all year had to be, and it's just because it was fantastically disappointing, was the San Jose Bacon Festival. We talked about it a little bit on the show, but for the most part, for a thing called the Bacon Festival, there was really not enough bacon.
And that's a travesty.
Yeah, and certainly...
I'm putting them on notice. Step up your game, Bacon Festival of San Jose.
I think if there was...
Alberti is watching you.
Yeah, well, if there's anything positive that came out of it, I was able to hold a kind of bacon festival of my own at our place, and a bacon explosion was cooked and was awesome. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, it's like three kinds of pork wrapped in bacon. It was ridiculous, but quite good. So even, you know, from a negative, you can, you know, get a positive out of it somehow. Let's see, what else was kind of hilarious and good? I have a list of kind of good drinks I've had this year. Some of these were had during the podcast, but not all of them. I think my favorite thing to have this year, drink-wise, was I had a Dogfish Head 120-minute IPA, which I had never had before, and that was kind of awesome. I still haven't had a Pliny the Younger. I think you had at least two of them?
I had a few.
Nice.
And that was definitely in my top drinks of the year.
Yeah. I'll have to make it up for this coming year's allotment. That it seems like a pilgrimage I should take. The other kinds of things that I had were actually related mostly to Silicon Valley Beer Week, which I took full advantage of this year, and it was good. There's not a lot of stuff that didn't work. I think the thing that that I learned was maybe too much, pulling too much of the curtain back, was I went to a Boilermaker pairing like thing where they were pairing whiskeys with beers. And after looking through the menu and kind of being a little more critical about it, I realized that most of the beers that they paired with whiskeys were barrel aged, and I feel like that's 100% cheating, because if it's barrel aged and you're pairing it with a barrel aged whiskey, of course it's going to taste good, because you're going to, you know, have all the vanilla notes that match up. But I wouldn't
that barrel say, advantage.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's, you know, the best kind of pairing that's out there. So I'm still looking for a decent Boilermaker, although. Not that hard, because that's kind of a lot of alcohol.
Well, I mean, pairing booze with booze is a thing.
Here, here. Although my worst drink of the year goes to all of the tequila I had in Anaheim at that one party. Yeah, that was a little too much, but Let's just.
What was it, a problem with quantity or a problem with quality?
I would have to say both, actually.
That sounds like a real problem.
Yeah. And not the quantity problem where there was not enough. Is really.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's not dwell on the negatives, right?
Hey, you brought it up, man.
some things that worked really well this year were board games. At least I think this year we really had a lot of good luck with them. We've had kind of board games come up on the show in the past, and I know we've done. I think it's. Oh, I can't remember the day, but International Tabletop Day, kind of created by Will Wheaton, etc., for the tabletop web show. There's kind of a day where they play a lot of board games and just kind of generally get people into them. And we did that and had a bunch of people over and played a bunch of games. Although, interestingly enough, the games that I think I liked the most this year were not ones we played at that party. we played, let's see. I think, what is it? The one that I think is, kind of the most fun was the largest group one that we played, which is Telestrations. And it's slowly getting more mainstream kind of acceptance. I heard an ad for it on the radio kind of randomly, so I know it's a thing out in kind of larger circles, but it's kind of a combination of the game Telephone and then
Pictionary.
Sure. Yeah, it's good. It's mostly hilarious when you have a mix of people that can and can't draw. Mostly the can't draw people.
Yeah, let us never forget breakfast, toast, and vodka. I salute you, Claire. I salute you. That was brilliant.
Another great game that's come out of this year. And I think the main reason is it was just recently reprinted is the game Cash and Guns, which is... really just an excuse to point foam guns at everyone at the table. It's great. It's a kind of a bluffing game. It's kind of a resource chasing kind of game, because you can kind of build up money or art or diamonds or otherwise just kind of mess around with other people. But it's really hilarious because it does come with 8 foam guns and you're encouraged to point them at people. It's great.
Take that, gun safety.
On the plus side, all of the foam guns do have the orange safety tip on them. So, I mean, not that you should necessarily...
Don't play this game out at a park.
Yeah, don't play this outside.
Play it at your house.
And don't play it anywhere near Missouri. Is that
probably
too soon?
About it.
Too soon?
Maybe.
Too soon. Okay, all right, we'll move on. Oh. That's another one of those things that we have to... we have to just kind of be aware of on the show. I don't think we've ever necessarily been in like super bad taste on the show.
No. And if anyone did it, it was me. So I salute you.
Well, kind of the perennial purveyor of bad taste, I think has to be, the Cards Against Humanity game, which, came out with, yet another expansion this year, and it's still hilarious. I've not gotten into it yet, but did you hear about what they did for Black Friday?
Yes.
Yeah. For those that haven't heard, they do a thing every year called, I think it's, they just call it holiday bullshit. And it was a thing that they did, which was to, you sign up on their website and they would send you stuff every day for like a week. And you would get a bunch of weird kind of crap about, you know, some gaming related, some not. And, but it was just kind of a weird kind of set of things. And this year, on Black Friday, they changed it so the only thing they were selling on the website, Black Friday, obviously one of the kind of more ridiculous traditions in shopping history online, is there's like a million sales for this, that, and the other thing. But instead of having like discounts on like their card sets or anything like that, they sold literal bullshit. And that was what they were advertising. They were going to sell boxes of feces. And apparently a large number of people...
don't read.
Yeah. Or read and bought it anyway, which is kind of amazing and disgusting all at the same time. So, yay, Cards Against Humanity. Definitely still a thing.
It is still a thing, but I also feel like it's starting to reach its saturation point. I started to hear about it from people I would not have expected to play. It's hitting mainstream.
Well, we're not going to go into gaming hipster mode and say it was only cool when we were playing it. But there is an element of that that's kind of coming up. So hopefully they're able to kind of keep it fresh. But we'll see.
You weren't there, man. We printed it out on cardstock and had to cut it up.
I think maybe one of the best games I've played, or at least the most anticipated game that I played this year, was actually not a kind of big name title or a next generation console title. It was just the next episode of the Telltale Walking Dead game.
That's one of the only games I bought this year. I played some of the newer titles and was glad I didn't buy them.
Oh, really?
The only one that I really should have bought and played is the new Dragon Age Inquisition.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm waiting for a next gen console before I play it.
Yeah. Did you end up trying the Game of Thrones one from Telltale?
No, I have not.
Okay, I haven't either. So maybe
I found that when I was making lists and reviewing the year before this episode, there were a lot of things that I didn't get to. Like, I made a top 10 list of movies and realized, oh, there's about a dozen movies I really wanted to see, but I still haven't seen.
Oh, no. Like what?
There were a bunch of them. I didn't get to see The Raid 2.
Oh, no.
I haven't seen it. Well, a lot of them came out in the winter time. Like, I never saw Nightcrawler.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see Boyhood. I try and see as many of the ones that are going to get nominated for Best Picture, and I think I'm probably pretty behind. I saw that my list was very full of popcorn movies.
Well, I think there was a pretty good balance of those this year. I feel like I saw a good number of popcorn movies in the theater, and that mostly worked out. I think I don't think there was anything I was especially disappointed by.
Oh, there were movies I was disappointed by, but I don't want to go into those. You need to stay positive.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's see. Just so rounding out or finishing up the kind of games category, let's see, what else did I have? The only game that I had on my list that I considered, I don't know, I definitely spent a lot of time on it, but I wouldn't say it's a great game, nor a game that you should necessarily spend time on. It's just the kind of ridiculousness that is Diablo 3. after it was released for console. I ended up buying it again. I actually already had it for Mac at the time, and then I rebought the game because that's really the only way you can get it for the expansion. And I realize now that the PS3 version of the expanded Diablo 3 will no longer receive game updates. So in order to play any of the new content, I would have to get a PS4. I don't think that's a compelling enough reason for me to buy a PS4. But I also didn't think I was going to buy I also didn't think I was going to buy Diablo 3 three times. So we'll see.
Diablo 9.
I have like 4 level 70 characters, man. I'm not super proud that I have sunk so much time into that game. There's all sorts of stuff that I didn't sink time into. Like we were talking kind of ahead of the show about books that we haven't read. And I can unfortunately only think of one book that I read and really enjoyed this year. I know I've read more than one book this year, right? I did, right?
I don't know that. Well, I mean, I did, but I reread a lot of books this year.
Okay.
So there weren't any new ones that came out that I read. Oh, wait, no, that's wrong. There was a new Dresden Files book. There's one book. Bam. I've reached a new low.
Yeah, the book that I really enjoyed reading this year was Gun Machine by Warren Ellis, who is a comic book author, and I think he's written some stuff for TV too, but Gun Machine was excellent. I really, really enjoyed it. I don't know if I talked about that on the show when I had come through it. I think it was kind of towards the beginning of the year, so I hope that was this year. It's still in my kind of most recent shelf, so I feel like it was one that I read this year, but I don't know. I can always look back and figure that out. Let's see. What else has been kind of in the lists and stuff? How about we do movies now?
All right. So my movie list is in no sort of editorial order. It's not a ranking. They're all up there. I didn't go 1 to 10 in any order, other than I guess chronologically. but that's more of the studios editing things. That's not me. First up, I had the Lego Movie. I had very low expectations going into it, and it was great. It didn't feel like it was ruining my childhood. it didn't feel like they were trying to steal my money. It had a lot of heart, and it was funny.
Oh, nice.
And so it made my top 10 list.
Wow, I've still not seen it. I've heard...
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
Everything is awesome, Alan.
I haven't seen it. I'm sure it'll come up. There's still, you know, like 28 hours in 2012 or 2014. I could probably work it out. We'll see.
I actually thought about having us delay this end of the year episode so I'd have an extra day to try and watch as many movies as I could. I thought, no, I'll only make it in a few. I'm still behind, so. So one for me, then one that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
Okay, how about Grand Budapest Hotel?
No. I do have that on my list, but I didn't end up watching it.
Wait,
that came out...
So you didn't see it?
No.
Oh, man.
That came out at the... Was it at the end of last year?
I think it was the beginning of this year.
Okay. I think it was the beginning of this year, too. I just remember... When I had the chance to maybe see it on the during my trip to I thought it was during my trip to Orlando in January, so I don't remember if I don't know. That was kind of early on. All I know is I ended up not seeing it, which is a bummer, and then it just stayed on my list and I never got to it. So one more that I unfortunately can't talk about.
All right. So for those keeping score, that's Brendan 2, Alan 0. Here's one I know that we both saw. Godzilla.
Yes. Absolutely. Definitely a popcorn flick. Definitely a movie I was happy with. We had talked about it kind of on the air at length. I think maybe my favorite thing about it was that I saw it with my mother-in-law, whom I saw kind of early on when I was dating her daughter, now my wife, Julie. We saw the Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
Terrible movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, that terrible movie.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it only took, like 16 years to redeem it. But I redeemed it. It was good. It was good. That was definitely a fine movie this year.
Yeah, it's not often I go to a movie and see people standing up and cheering when Godzilla just mulches things.
Wow. Awesome.
That was great. Next on the list was Edge of Tomorrow.
Okay.
I would not have expected to put a Tom Cruise movie like that on my list. Although now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure in a previous list I had a Mission Impossible movie on there. So I guess it makes sense. But it was a movie that I had very low expectations going into, and I thought it was great. There's a lot more depth to it than I might have thought going in.
Yeah, I've heard, and I haven't seen it, but I have heard that the major thing that was bad for it was that it was just poorly marketed. And
I feel
like that's a really unfortunate kind of problem. that's the thing, you know, that makes or breaks, you know, how the movie is perceived and how wide the release is, etc. So it's that's kind of a bummer. But that's something that's on the list for me too.
Yeah, all you need is Kill. Yeah. Which I don't know why they changed the name to that.
And then they changed it again, right? Wasn't that the original?
Was it Live, Die, Repeat? That was the original, and then it was Edge of Tomorrow, and there was Live, Die, Repeat.
Right. Yeah, they got to work on their marketing message.
But it was a good movie.
Okay, all right.
It was entertaining.
Sure.
So after that, I got Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yet another Let's Trash San Francisco movie.
Yes, I like those. it had great motion capture work. It was, I don't know, I had me on the edge of my seat, which the first one did not.
Oh, you don't mean the Mark Wahlberg Planet of the Apes.
No, I wasn't even going to bring that up. No one should ever bring that up.
Yeah, that was super unfortunate.
Did you see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes?
I didn't.
Okay, so there's a lot of movies that we did not see at the same time. Interesting.
That's true. That's true. I think there were. I think I was going through that list, and for me, I know the Raid 2, rather, was in there. And then did you see Big Hero 6?
I did not.
Okay. I enjoyed that. I mean, it's very kind of Disney formulaic. And I would almost say Pixar formulaic, but it's not even that level. It's still like one notch back from the Pixar branded movies anyway. I mean, there's some heartstrings that they pull, and there's, you know, a good mix of kind of wacky and serious in it. But it does have kind of that familiar Disney kind of weight to it. I wouldn't say a blow you away movie, but it was still good. And The Raid 2, we have to rectify this situation.
I know. I got a copy of it, and it was dubbed, and I refuse to watch a dubbed copy. I want subtitles.
Yeah.
I had some standards.
Yeah. I ended up seeing it. Where did I see it? It was in, I want to say it was in San Francisco at the, I think it was at the Kabuki Theater? The Kabuki 8 in Japantown? It was good. Definitely worth the drive.
All right, I know the whole last half of my list that you have seen.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see if it's on yours as well.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Absolutely. One of the best movies of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I ranked my movies, but that's top three for sure. Maybe the best movie.
I would say it was really good. And I think the main thing was how just novel it was, and it does have kind of a similar kind of pacing, but it still felt different enough. And it was in such stark contrast, I think, to Winter Soldier. Which, that was also this year, right? Am I doing that math right?
That was on this year. It is not on my list.
No, and I thought that movie was good, but not at all in the same league. In fact, I think I saw that movie the same weekend I saw Raid 2, which was really, and I saw Raid 2 first. Which made all the fight scenes in Captain America just feel so slow.
Cheesy. It's great action unless you watch action movies regularly. There's action movies, there's no good acting, there's no good story, mm-hmm. there's no good editing, but the fight scenes are amazing.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I agree with you. Guardians of the Galaxy was far and away great. So
yes. After that I got Birdman.
Yes. Absolutely. We definitely agree with that one. And apparently a lot of people do too. I've been seeing kind of bigger nominations for it and stuff, and it was good.
I mean it's currently my favorite for Best Picture next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized a lot of the movies I skipped, or not the ones that I want to see that I have not seen,
mm-hmm.
are also getting talk for the Oscars.
Oh, and really?
Yeah. Those are, I don't know. Oscar movies always end up, I wait for DVD or digital download or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to the theater, I want spectacle.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, I think that, for me, that really held the line well. I mean, it was certainly spectacular. I mean, the editing alone, they should
amazing.
They should get like an Oscar for that. But they also didn't market that at all. Like, I didn't even know that was going to be a thing until like two shots into the movie, and I'm like, oh my god, what are they doing? So that was really impressive. I didn't I guess stayed away from any buzz, and I don't even know how you would have marketed that other than,
I don't think there's a way to do it.
No, but it was a very nice surprise, and it certainly kind of helped, keep the movie at a very kind of high pace. That was good.
Next up I got Fury.
Yeah. Whew. You know, I realized we didn't really talk about that on the air because we'd seen them, I feel like, maybe even 2 or 3 weeks apart.
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah. That movie was super intense.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much boil it down to one word review, intense.
Right. Okay, good. Glad we Glad we got that one.
If you need some intensity, go see Fury. next up, Interstellar.
Mm-hmm. I still have not seen it again. I haven't either. Okay, I was going to, and it never happened. I think with a little more time, I'll feel better about it. I know my initial blush off of it was not as positive as yours, but I think it was just so dense for me towards the end. So it was hard for me to kind of reconcile things, which I realize is also a symptom that 2001 kind of suffered from. And I love that movie, so I'll have to watch.
Let it breathe.
Yeah,
let it breathe.
Watch Interstellar again, and I'll probably be on board.
And the last movie of the top 10, my top 10 that I have seen. These are not the top 10 best movies of the year. These are the top 10 best movies I have seen this year.
In a theater.
That are in a theater that were new.
I love all the caveats. It's so good.
Yeah. It's a very specific list.
Yeah.
John Wick.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot.
My top 10. Welcome aboard, Keanu.
Welcome back is how I like to say it. But
yeah.
No, I enjoyed that a lot too. It was really, again, I think the pacing of that movie really helped. It never felt kind of slow and you didn't really know what was going on, except for the very beginning when you're like, what is this movie that I'm watching right now? And then as it builds, when it finally turns the corner and turns into the maybe the best revenge film I've seen in quite a few years, it works really, really well. So
yeah, these are your popcorn movies of the year from me. any on your list that I missed?
Ranked
up high.
We talked about Raid 2, and I talked about Big Hero 6, and that's pretty much it that was different from your list. I agree with you. There's a bunch of movies that I didn't see that I was kind of hoping I would, and I've still not seen, so we'll see. One of them that I think I'm probably going to watch in the next day anyway was Horns. Did you hear about that movie?
Was that the Daniel Radcliffe movie?
Yeah.
That wasn't on my list, but I think just because I forgot it.
Well, I think it was...
I do want to see that.
Yeah, I think it was in theaters for all of like a week. So that one was kind of rough to catch in theaters anyway. One movie that I saw on a bunch of people's top lists was Lucy, the Scarlett Johansson kind of action-y film, and I remember seeing the trailer for it and liking everything but the actual premise of the movie.
I saw it. I didn't finish it.
Okay.
It was okay.
That's pretty indicting, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe I won't, you know, waste the precious seconds that I have before 2015 kicks in.
There's other ways you can go watch any of the movies on my list that you didn't see.
Yeah.
Oh, and honorable mention to the movie Neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious.
Oh, good. Good. I had that on the list because we were talking last show about what would we do if The Interview had not been released and we were going to watch Team America and then, you know, another movie. And Neighbors was one that I considered watching, although I ended up not watching it, nor did I even watch The Interview for that matter.
I watched The Interview. It was okay. It's not the funniest movie you've ever seen. It's not the greatest movie. It's not the... I've seen worse movies. This top 10 list I put together, I see a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And it was better than most of the ones I omitted. Mm-hmm. Like, there, I can think of four or five different scenes where I laughed really hard. I wasn't sober. But that doesn't count. I mean, that right. doesn't matter.
No. Well, who says I was sober for any of the movies we saw?
Right. Who says we've been sober for any of the podcasts we've done this year?
Yeah, right. Oh, that's a story for another time. Well, this was a good show. I think our Bakhtoon is...
has been reviewed.
Properly reviewed. Yeah. Yeah, so we can start off next week with a clear conscience.
we'll find out after tomorrow. I'm not making any judgments about my conscience before New Year's Eve. That's a conversation for the next morning.
Any thoughts about this coming year, podcast wise? Stuff you want to do? Stuff we haven't explored yet?
I'd like to have some new guests on. Mm-hmm. Have some old guests on.
Sure, there's certainly some that I wouldn't mind revisiting. You know, we'll find you, or you can find us.
Find us.
Yeah.
I also would like at some point to record a podcast banjolele duet.
Yes, yes.
So since this... by a Christmas miracle, we both got banjolele.
Yeah, the scene could not have been any more awesome. I mean, I was at my grandparents-in-law's. We were opening gifts, and I opened up one from my mother-in-law, and it's a banjolele. It's a ukulele that's built on a kind of banjo drum, essentially, like the banjo style, anyway.
It's a tiny banjo.
But it's tuned like a ukulele, so... So it has the twanginess and the volume of a banjo, but it still kind of has that light, happy aloha sound of a ukulele. But not even 5 minutes after I've opened it up and tuned it up and strummed a little bit, I get a text from Brendan, and it's a picture of a banjolele that he got. It was amazing.
And this is why we have a podcast.
As far as I know, there was no collusion on anyone's parts.
I don't think there was.
So that was impressive. We'll have to meet up and play a little ditty. We'll see. Maybe not the theme to the show.
No, probably not.
It's a little musically complex.
Or maybe we can incorporate it into a new theme song for next year.
We'll have to talk to our... musical advisor on that one.
Yeah, that's true.
Excellent. Well, I think that's all I was prepared to talk about this Bakhtoon anyway. I will see you in the new Bakhtoon, Brendan.
Until next Bakhtoon, Alan.